We're back. How you doing? I can't hear you, but I hope you're doing good. And if you're not, I will, I'll pray for you. I'm sure there's an app for that. Tangent. Well, welcome back to Still Waters. Let's get into it. So, this one's titled Self-Respect, Episode 6. Self-Respect. Why do I talk about self-respect? Because self-respect is the precursor for self-discipline. You ever hear this statement? Everyone's like, I gotta be more disciplined. I gotta be more disciplined. I gotta be more disciplined. And it's like, okay, we all know what we should do. We all know that. Like, isn't it funny how we always hear this statement, if you knew better, you would do better? Well, how many people know that smoking cigarettes is bad for their lungs, but they still do it? Because they want to, and blah, blah, blah. So that means knowing something is not enough. The knowledge or truth of something isn't enough. There has to be a volition of will. Well, then where does the will come from? I know, this is like neuroscience stuff, right? But I digress. Psychology? Yeah. Self-respect. Now, where am I getting this reference from? How can I talk about this with a sense of understanding at all? There's a book, literally a book, titled Make Your Bed. It was by a military guy, and he talks about the importance of self-respect. Like, think about this from this perspective. The first thing they teach a man who's going to defend our country or fight, basically defend himself or kill the enemy, use an assault rifle, weapon, whatever. What do you think the first thing they would teach this guy? Probably how to reload his weapon. Probably how to aim. Probably how to survive. Probably do 200 crunches. Nope. The first thing they teach him is how to make your bed. The first thing they're going to teach her is how to make sure you can do the, what's it called, the coin toss test, right? You can toss a nickel on the bed and it should bounce like 3 times. That's how tight the bed has to be made. Can you imagine? When's the last time you made your bed? Oh, it's quiet now. I know if I was in a church and I said that, it'd be quiet. The irony of that, there's actually another book by Jordan Peterson, clinical psychologist. He talks a bunch of people because, you know, clinical psychologist. But one of the things he asked people, like, hey, what does your room look like? And it's like in a complete disarray. So obviously their house is a reflection. The outside world is just a reflection of their inside world. That's a reference of Moses and the children of Israel. If he kills the Egyptian and helps out the Hebrew, which is only a reflection, that outer conflict, which is a reflection of his inner being. But I digress. Bivocational. Now, why? In fact, when you go to therapy, in fact, one of the first things they do is they put you in a stable environment. They put you in a room that is organized. One of the reasons they can tell if someone's going to actually be serious, if they want to commit suicide, they'll look at a woman and they'll say, oh, she's not going to do it. And I'm thinking to myself, like, how can you be so sure with such confidence? That's a pretty serious claim, right? Well, she did her hair. She brushed her teeth. Her nails are clean. What does that mean? Self-respect. Self-respect is a predication of self-worth. Look at the gym. Why do you go to the gym? Oh, I'm so disciplined. One of my good friends, best friend, Andrew, and he said this phrase. It always stuck with me. I might have to do another audio on this one. It's called The Hierarchy of Values. But he says, I don't go to the gym, Andre, because I love touching iron bars. That's the second reason. The real reason is because I find value in it. And if you really think about it, the crux of every human volition is value. If you haven't noticed, I'm going to use words with the same letter so that it's more easier to stick. The crux of human volition is value. If I find value in it, I'm going to do it. Duh, even at the expense of my own health. Why do people go on Ferris wheels? I mean, no, roller coasters. Scare themselves half to death. Wait in lines for hours. Pay overpriced popcorn and peanuts. And they'll get on this ride get on it for like 2 minutes, and they're waiting again. I'm thinking to myself, like, wait a second, this sounds crazy. I don't see the value in it. But they do. And perhaps that's the beauty of this world. We just find value in different things. We can all walk into that candy shop and come out of there with something different. Y'all give us $5, everyone comes out with something different. It's ironic. But that's not the point. The point is values. Now, if you have value in the right stuff, it yields the right result. Why can I say that? Okay, so I'm going to tie this all up, don't worry. Why does the military tell these people? These are grown people. These aren't 8-year-old kids, Boy Scout. I'm telling a grown man who's going to use a grown-up weapon, an assault rifle. I'm like, what? We're teaching our military this? This is the first thing. American military is probably one of the baddest in the world. And that's not me trying to be nationalist. Like, America is like a world power, man. We're like an empire. They just can't mess with us, man. Be honest with you, that's a whole nother topic. The point is, the first thing they teach them is that, to make your bed. Discipline. But not, no, it's not discipline. Again, self-respect. Self-respect leads to self-discipline. That's the secret. And value, right? Why does my friend go to the gym? Because he has self-respect. He respects himself too much to not go to the gym. He values himself. I guess you could say it's borderline narcissistic. You could argue that a degree, not too much, but a degree of narcissism is necessary for human survival or progress. Too much, obviously, defeats the purpose and social order, but that's a whole nother topic. The point is, he cares about himself enough to get that. Get 6-pack abs, bless God. Break eggs with those abs. I don't see the sense of it because I figure a speeding bullet can do the same result whether you have abs or not. But hey, he got them. I don't. There it is. It's just like, man, he got them. Self-respect. That's all it is. I don't value abs as much to do 1,000 crunches on a daily basis. Weekly basis. Monthly basis. I don't know what you gotta do. Okay. Let's go into the clinical psychologist. Reason why Jordan Peterson said make your bed. Does a whole chapter on that. Also, keep your back straight. Like, posture. That alone helps you out. From a chemical perspective in your brain. Sidebar. But he says make your bed. Why? Because how can you expect to bring order to the world, but you can't bring order to your own house? They're not mutually exclusive, of course, but it's ironic. You can't even make your bed, but you want the government to get their act together. That's not even your bed. It's a discipline. And it gives you a sense of control in a very uncontrollable world. That is to say, if you can't even control the world that you should have control over and dominion, there's probably a reason why you're stressed out and everything else in between. I need to talk on that, why we're stressed out. There's actually a legitimate reason. Well, let that sink in a bit. Lise Sila Wusa. Pause. Another reason why he references you should make your bed is he says not only does it give you a sense of control, but no matter how godforsaken your day was, I guess God never leaves you, so that's not really a valid statement. No matter how terrible your day was, worst day of your life, you know what's funny? If you come back home and you see that you made your bed, it gives your mind a sense of hope. It gives your mind a sense of relief that, you know what? I got my butt. That's what they did for the military as well. No matter what, no matter if I got my butt completely handed to me, I got treated like a dog. I can't feel my face after all these Navy SEAL trainings, but you know what? At least I made my bed. Like, you got one victory. 1 out of 99. That's a 1 in 99. So that's, it gives your brain that sense of like, you know what? I'm not completely worthless. it shatters that lie, that typology, right? Well, if I was so terrible, I wouldn't have at least made my bed, right? Oh. And your brain's kind of like, oh, I guess that's a good point. Another thing, too, is like brushing your teeth. I know you're thinking, Andre, this is dental hygiene. But if you look at the crux of all these issues, it really boils down to self-respect. If you don't have self-respect, you will never have self-discipline, because self-discipline is predicated on that. Makes sense? I hope that helps. Well, Andre, in that case, how do we get self-respect? I believe there's a book that talked about this. Oh my goodness. But it was talking about how before we even wake up in the morning, the reason why you want to wake up at 5, I don't know if you can handle this, but if you can wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, do it. Why? Well, one, you can get all your prayers, devotions, you can clean up your bed, take a shower, get a full meal in, etc., etc. You get all the things you have to do anyway, done early, so you're more prepared, your mind is more set. This isn't a sermon to wake up early, just whatever time you have to do to get all your ducks in a row, right? Brush your teeth, eat a full meal. The reason why people are usually, quite frankly, stressed out and depressed and tired is, well, they failed in the morning. Your morning was cracked. Notice the military, they say, make your bed. They don't say make your bed in the middle of the day. Don't make your bed at the end of the day. Make your bed in the morning. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, seek me first, early in the morning. Seek the kingdom first, and all these things will be your... There's a sense of priority going on. You can't just... I need to do a talk on this alone, but people are so busy. Busy, busy, busy. Everyone's busy. I'm busy. I'm so busy I can't even smile. Good God of mercy. I can't even... You know you need a... something else needs to get sacrificed, not your face. But, I guess that's actually a tangent, because people say now if you tell someone to smile, that's like sexual harassment because you're telling how they should use their bodies. But that seems like more of a exaggeration, but I digress. Squirrel. All right. I rambled enough. Hopefully that sticks. Understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. That helped me a lot, because I could not understand why everyone always said that. You need to have discipline. What do you need? I need discipline. Oh, what do you need? I need discipline. I need to be more disciplined. More. I wish I was more disciplined. Blah, blah, blah. Never understanding. If you had some self-respect for yourself, you would have more discipline. What gives you self-respect? I don't know. But there's something you're doing in your life that's shattering your respect for yourself. Now, is your respect predicated on... Your shame of sin? Possibly. Is it predicated based on how people respond to you publicly? That's a big one. That's a pride of life. Major. We got a lot of that. We got people on their cell phones waiting for people to answer their phone. All these different types of... Don't get me wrong. Validation is good, because we live in a society that without certain degrees of validation, you will not survive in this economic system. However, there is a point where you have to cut that off, because if it gets too far, in my opinion, it's unhealthy. It's almost like, if I had to use a metaphor on the spot, that would be like saying, I need to drink, it's almost like obsessive, right? I need to drink 12 bottles of water a day or my face will explode. It's like, okay, listen. I might drink like 2 bottles, 4 if I'm lucky. But honestly, how many people actually follow that rule? Right? Like, you see how it's getting to a point of not healthy? You should expect acknowledgement from certain venues, because that's how you're going to survive. But, I mean, look at the Bible. Jesus asked his disciples to pray for him for 1 hour. They were sleeping. The Bible also says the same ones that said Hosanna said crucify him. Oh, Hosanna, this is the Son of David. Blessed is the King. Next minute, crucify him. Oh. Let that sink in. So, if you need the validation of people, or approval to get you going, which, again, no harm in that, but don't let that be the foundation of your faith. Hey, the Apostle Paul said, in my hour of trial, keyword, in my hour of trial, no man stood with me. David said, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't even have time to talk about that. That's a whole nother sermon. I'd be out here for an hour if I gave you the context of those stories. The point is, I guess I got the wristband on me too. Job, look up this one while you have time. Job chapter 23, verse 10. When I have been tried, I come forth as pure gold. The book of Job. J-O-B. Job. When I've been tried, I come forth as pure gold. Anyway, I digress. Why'd I say all this? Self-respect predicates self-discipline. If you want discipline, you're going to have to get self-respect. How do you get self-respect? You're going to have to give yourself grace for your mistakes, and don't hold yourself accountable to those shame. That's the thing. There's a difference for regretting what you did and being ashamed of who you are. Ew, that's a whole other talk. Tangent. Okay, done for real this time. Oh, man. Alrighty. Well, appreciate you listening to this. Appreciate you taking the time to invest in yourself and learning. I'm glad you can be one of the listeners. All right. You guys have a blessed day. I will talk to you later.